Good afternoon. Welcome to this news conference sponsored by the Environmental Integrity Project. You will be hearing from two speakers today, and before we introduce them as a group and then individually, I want to invite the operator on the line to explain how the Q&A period will work.
During the question and answer session, you may ask a question by pressing star then one on your touchtone phone. If you would like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star then two. Again, it's star then one to ask a question.
We will have the operator back on the line at the start of the Q&A, again, to repeat those instructions about how members of the news media can ask questions. As I mentioned, you will be hearing from two speakers today, Eric Schaefer, the Executive Director of the Environmental Integrity Project and former Director of Civil Enforcement at the EPA, and Sharon Wilson, Texas Organizer at Earthworks Oil and Gas Accountability Project. Let's go ahead and begin with our first speaker.
Good afternoon, and thank you, everybody, for joining us today. I'm Eric Schaefer, and I'm director of the Environmental Integrity Project. For well over a decade, horizontal drilling into shale deposits has allowed the U.S. to tap into big new reservoirs of shale oil and gas. And while hydrofracturing, or fracking in shorthand, offers obvious economic benefits, that does come at an environmental cost we're just beginning to understand. In August this year, we released a report showing that more than 300 wells had been fracked with drilling products containing diesel fuel, but without the Safe Drinking Water Act permits required by law. Now, those permits are required because, and I'm quoting here from EPA's own guidance, diesel fuels may contain a number of chemicals of concern, including benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene and xylene compounds, otherwise known as BTEX. BTEX compounds are highly mobile in groundwater and are regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act because of the risks they pose to human health. We've since learned that some companies are using other drilling fluids, non-diesel fluids, that contain benzene or ethylbenzene in much higher concentrations than you would see in diesel. But thanks to the Halliburton loophole, it's bonds away. You can inject benzene, ethylbenzene, or other carcinogens into fracking wells in unlimited quantity, as long as you aren't using diesel fuel or calling it diesel fuel, without having to worry about the Safe Drinking Water Act because you are exempt from that law. Benzene is a carcinogen known to cause leukemia in humans exposed to low doses over long periods of time. The Safe Drinking Water Act limits exposure to 5 parts per billion. One thing about benzene and other volatile toxic compounds is they tend to vaporize when they're exposed to the air, which means you can also inhale them, and benzene is very dangerous when it's inhaled. Ethylbenzene, another one of those BTEX compounds, has been linked to cell death and tissue damage, and it's a probable carcinogen, according to EPA. The Safe Drinking Water Act there limits exposure to 700 parts per billion. So one thing I want to make clear is the information that we are going to share with you today and that you'll find in our report comes from disclosures made on the industry-sponsored Frac Focus website and from material safety data sheets that sometimes, not always, but sometimes provide information about the toxic ingredients in drilling fluids and other products. According to EPA, diesel fuels contain up to 0.1% benzene. That's one part per thousand. That's significant because benzene's hazardous in drinking water at 5 parts per billion. Using material safety data sheets, we've identified at least 12 drilling fluids that contain from 6 to 90 times the maximum concentration of benzene found in diesel. Let me give you just one example. On September 14th, Blackbrush ONG injected over 1 million gallons of drilling fluid into a well in Dimmit County in far west Texas. Up to half of that was a mix of sweet crude and natural gasoline, so-called base fluid, with a benzene concentration of up to 9%, according to the company's disclosure on Frac Focus. Now, that's 90 times more than the highest concentration of benzene you'd find in diesel. In fact, based on those numbers, that single event injected up to 49,000 gallons of benzene into a single well. If you need to verify that, you can search for benzene on FracFocus. The CAS chemical abstract number is 71432, and you should find that disclosure on September 14. Diesel fuel also contains ethyl benzene concentrations up to 1%. Using material safety data sheets, we identified another 21 products that contain ethyl benzene at levels 5 to 40 times higher than you'd find in diesel. Over the past year, to give one example, Citation Oil and Gas Services injected solvents containing over 4,500 gallons of ethyl benzene in a series of wells in Carter and Caddo counties in Oklahoma. You can find that information in the text and in the tables of our report, but I want to emphasize we're just looking at a subset of data because many companies don't publicly disclose the ingredients in their drilling fluids, or their disclosures are just too vague and meaningless to be useful. They use terms like petroleum distillate or hydrocarbons, and you can't tell from those descriptions what the benzene content is or what the content of any of the other toxic ingredients might be. I want to repeat that unlike diesel, injection of these drilling fluids does not require a permit under the Safe Drinking Water Act. And that's exactly the problem, because the Safe Drinking Water Act requires you to install well casings, which permits can require to have you install those all the way down to the bottom of a drinking water aquifer to keep drilling fluids from breaking out and getting into groundwater that people drink from. You need to test the mechanical integrity of those wells. Pennsylvania has documented a number of cases of groundwater contamination due to drilling activities in that state, and they find that well casings are broken and cracked well casings are part of the problem. You need to disclose the ingredients in drilling fluids, and you can be required to monitor the groundwater near the well to make sure the contaminants aren't, again, getting into drinking water supplies. You also have to look closely at the geological conditions in the area you're drilling for any fractures or fissures that could cause contaminants to spread into groundwater supplies. So these are significant requirements. The Safe Drinking Water Act does not prohibit you from injecting diesel. It just requires that you take these common sense actions to make sure that what you're putting down into shale doesn't get into water that people need to drink from. The exemption from the Safe Drinking Water Act, the infamous Halliburton loophole, was written into the Energy Policy Act in 2005. It's time to close that loophole and to get Congress out of the business of legislating exemptions for their friends in the oil and gas industry. Now, some companies in the industry have already made a commitment to public disclosure of the toxic ingredients in fracking fluids. That's fair enough. We think every company should make that commitment, and in particular should disclose concentrations of benzene, ethyl benzene, and other highly toxic ingredients. Better yet, we'd like to see those companies switch to non-toxic drilling fluids, which are already being advertised. You'll see the tag BTEX free. These are already being advertised and are available in the marketplace. We hear a lot these days that state agencies can handle the environmental consequences of the fracking boom, and they don't need EPA or the federal government. Well, if that's true, let's see them fill the void that Congress has left behind. Above all, let's make sure that we're getting groundwater monitoring around these drilling sites, and let's make the results publicly available. Thanks for your time, and I'd like to turn the call over to Sharon.
Great, thanks. And again, that was Eric Schaefer, the Executive Director of the Environmental Integrity Project and former Director of Civil Enforcement at the EPA. That again takes us to our second and final speaker making brief opening remarks. Ms. Wilson?
Hi, I'm Sharon Wilson. I live in North Texas, and I'm the Texas organizer for Earthworks Oil and Gas Accountability Project. I'm speaking today because I am very concerned about the conclusions of this report. Fracking companies are injecting toxic chemicals like benzene into the ground. This threatens our drinking water supplies and our health, and it needs to stop. Texas is experiencing a record-breaking drought, which makes every drop of water precious. Some of our key reservoirs are at their lowest levels ever. Private water wells and even wells that service entire towns are going dry. I have personal experience with the terror when you have no water. In 1996, I moved to 42 acres in Wise County. That was my personal piece of paradise. I hoped it would be a place where my children could breathe clean air, drink safe water from our water well, and grow up wild and free. I did not know that George Mitchell was experimenting in my area, learning how to frack the shale and produce oil and gas. Fracking began to surround us, and I was alarmed by what I saw, heard, and smelled. Then one day, I turned on the tap, and no water came out. That was the worst day of my life. There is no coffee, no flushes, no brushing teeth, and no life without water. Eventually, my water did return. It was black and slimy at first, then it turned cloudy until it finally cleared up, but we never drank it again. I lost $80,000 in property value. I started sounding the alarm to warn people, writing about my experience and what I was seeing. Other people found me and asked for help. Many of those people had water wells that were contaminated. Several wells had high levels of benzene. Some of those people have accepted industry settlements that came with a required gag order. Their stories and all their evidence is hidden from media, scientists, and our lawmakers. When industry says there is no evidence of contamination, that is a lie. The evidence is another secret that is buried. Cancer-causing chemicals should not be injected through our drinking water, period. Fracking injects these toxics into oil and gas wells that are drilled through our drinking water aquifers. Industry's own studies show that well casings, which are supposed to seal the toxins inside the oil and gas wells, regularly fail. Fracking companies can use non-toxics. They just choose not to. They refuse to follow even the most reasonable rules. This is why residents in Denton, Texas, feel they have no choice but to ban fracking. The Halliburton loophole in the Safe Drinking Water Act should be closed. When it was opened, diesel was not exempt because it was recognized as toxic. Now we learn from this report the same toxins in diesel at even higher levels are still being injected. Thank you.
And again, that was Sharon Wilson, Texas organizer for Earthworks Oil and Gas Accountability Project. That takes us to the Q&A portion of the call. And before we begin this, I want to invite the operator on once more to explain how the Q&A period will work.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star then two to remove yourself from the list. Please limit yourself to one question and a single follow-up. If you need to ask an additional question, please know that you may press star 1 to rejoin the queue.
And while we are waiting on our first question, I want to emphasize once again that the Q&A period is for reporters only. You can find the report that is being released today as well as the related news release on the web at www.environmentalintegrity.org. Again, that's www.environmentalintegrity.org, all one word. And after this news event is over, you can contact Will Harwood at 703-276-3255 to be connected with either of the speakers that you've heard from. Operator, let's go ahead and move to our first question.
The first question comes from Mark Drajim from Bloomberg News. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Do you guys know why benzene is being used? Does it serve as a replacement for diesel? Does it do the same kinds of things that diesel does? And is it possible that it seems like the amount of that one well seems pretty overwhelming. Is it possible that that's just a typo?
Well, this is Eric answering that. I don't know. It's been posted for some time. Earlier in August, there was what amounts to a 14,000-gallon injection of diesel by the same company, also in a well in Dimmitt County. This is a mixture of crude oil and what is being identified as natural gasoline, and it may be something that just has inherently high benzene concentrations. So the important thing about diesel to understand is these products are used to lubricate wells and to take to take what they call proppants down to bust open shale formations. They're used in pretty significant volume. And whenever you use petroleum-based products and hydrocarbons, some of those products can contain extremely high concentrations of benzene, higher than you'd find in diesel. So, you know, the fact that diesel was singled out and kept under the Safe Drinking Water Act umbrella 10 years ago, that was based on, you know, EPA's understanding of diesel at the time. But it's pretty obvious, and I don't think EPA would deny it, that a lot of the other products used commonly in drilling fluids have as much or more benzene as diesel.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark, is there a follow-up question, or is that it?
That's it. Thanks.
Okay, great. Operator, let's go ahead and move to our next question.
The next question comes from John Cox from the Bakersfield, California. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Does the report contain evidence of groundwater contamination or other harm from use of these chemicals?
No, we're not presenting that data because we don't have it, because if you're not subject to the Safe Drinking Water Act, you don't have groundwater monitoring data around the wells. So some of that exists. It's episodic. We don't have it for these particular wells. We do have, I don't know if you've seen it online, a release of data from the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection that identifies several hundred wells that the state has determined through its own investigations have been affected, contaminated by oil and gas drilling in that state. So you can, if you send me an email or contact Tom after the press conference, we can send you the link to that.
And are you alleging actual illegal activity here?
No. In fact, at least as far as Safe Drinking Water Act, these injections are exempt. You can inject diesel without a Safe Drinking Water Act permit because of the benzene diesel, but you can inject anything else. Actually, you can inject benzene directly if you want to without a Safe Drinking Water Act permit, courtesy of the Halliburton loophole.
Thank you.
Could I just add that in Texas, routine testing of water is not happening. So in many cases, people wouldn't know if their water is contaminated or not. And unless it's required to do baseline testing and follow-up testing, we're not going to have that information about contamination. And as someone who spent a lot of time the last legislative session in Austin trying to promote bills that would just require some reasonable amount of prior notification to landowners and to some sort of water monitoring, industry vigorously fights against anything at all that would require water monitoring.
Okay, great. And operator, let's go ahead and move on to our next question.
The next question comes from Kate Shepard from Huffington Post. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm wondering what the fix needs to be here. Does it have to be a congressional change to the law, or are there things that EPA could do within their own control? What would need to happen here?
That's a really good question. You know, ideally, Congress would change the law. The law makes no sense. I'm tempted to say, I think it's a quote from a Dickens Bleak House, the law is an ass in this case, because benzene-rich alternatives to diesel are, you know, get a free pass, and that makes no environmental sense. Congress could fix it. They ought to fix it. You know, I'm not holding my breath. I'm a realist. I think states could do more. States, I think about 14 states are now requiring companies to report to Frac Focus. The problem is that Frac Focus itself doesn't really require full disclosure of the ingredients in your drilling fluid, so you end up getting, you know, proprietary claims, trade secret claims, or just vague descriptions like, you know, distillate oil or solvent naphtha that aren't enough to tell you what's actually in what you're injecting into the well. So states can start to require that disclosure. I think EPA, when it comes to environmental releases, at a bare minimum, should require any releases to the air or water be reported to the toxics release inventory. EPA does have the authority to require that disclosure. We've petitioned 2 years ago now asking EPA to exercise that authority, and if they don't, we're looking at potential legal action to try and get a response out of the agency, but they have the authority to require that releases be reported. The agency has tried to do some in-depth surveying of groundwater. As you probably know, that's politically been controversial. There have been efforts to muffle the agency that I think have been partly successful. EPA pulled back on an investigation it was doing in Texas a couple of years ago and ended up sort of not going forward with a monitoring project they had to try to figure out the extent of contamination. So they have the authority to investigate, and we hope they'll use it.
Just to add to that, you should all stay tuned because there is very shortly more information coming from Parker County, Texas.
Just to follow up real quick, Eric, you mentioned that you guys had petitioned to get them to at least release it under TRI. When was that? So I can pull that up.
That was 2012, the summer of 2012. It'll take me a minute, but I'll come back before this is over with the date.
Thanks.
Okay, great. And operator, let's go ahead and move on to our next question.
Next question comes from Jim Day, IHS, The Energy Daily. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you tell us, are you going to use this report in your comments, or if you plan to make comments to the EPA's consideration of requiring disclosure of fracking fluids or to the Interior Department's look at its overall fracking regulations?
We are considering both of those things. I want to distinguish TRI from disclosure of ingredients in fracking fluids. TRI will cover what you release to the environment. That includes what you dispose of or store in wastewater ponds, for example, around these sites. So there's a lot of information there. It doesn't cover what you inject into wells, which is something that also ought to be disclosed. And, you know, we are considering filing comments with Interior. You know, ultimately, Congress needs to take the exemption away that these companies enjoy that lets them get away with not disclosing that data, which they would have to do under the Safe Drinking Water Act.
Okay, great. And is there a follow-up question there?
No, thanks.
Okay, and I know that we do have quite a few reporters on the line, and some have joined later. So, operator, why don't we go ahead and get a reprompt so that reporters know how they can get engaged.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, you can press star then two. Again, it is star then one to ask a question.
Okay, and operator, do we have any questions at this time?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay.
This is Eric Schaefer, and I got the question earlier about the date of the TRI petition, asking the industry to make these disclosures, or asking EPA to require the industry to disclose these toxic releases. That was October 24, 2012, so almost exactly 2 years ago.
We do have a question from Laura Lundquist from the Bozeman Chronicle.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. You mentioned that there were other agents that could be used in place of these benzene agents that are non-toxic, are they a little less efficient? Is that why the industry would prefer to use more abrasive, toxic sort of components?
A good question. I can't answer it. But I know that VTEC-free drilling fluids are being advertised, and pretty widely. You can go on actually good old Halliburton's website and find some examples. That doesn't keep them from selling you solvents that are high in ethyl benzene, which they're doing, but they also have VTEC-free products.
What they tell us at the local level when we try to get them to use some of industry's own technology that would make have less impact, they tell us that it is not mandated, so they don't have to.
Thank you.
Okay, great. And while we are waiting on our next question, I want to just reemphasize quickly where the report can be found. If you go on the web, it's available at www.environmentalintegrity.org. Again, that is all one word, www.environmentalintegrity.org. I also wanted to emphasize, I just had a question come in. There is a full appendix attachment to this document that shows all of the various well sites that are being cited here in the report, and that is available within the report. It's sort of a separate click that you have to make to get to that. So just wanted to reemphasize that as well. Operator, do we have any questions at this time?
We do. The next question is from Emily Meredith from Oil Daily. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the time. Just a quick one, and that is, Eric, have you got any sort of states in mind in particular when you're talking about state-level regulations or state-level sort of action in terms of more stringent regulations in terms of the fluid that can be used or the disclosures that need to be made?
Well, yeah, I'd have to get this to you if you want in response to a question. I think there are 14 states now that require, if you drill in their state, to disclose, that you disclose to Frac Focus. But again, the problem is you can put anything you want on Frac Focus. It's a voluntary disclosure website, and a lot of those disclosures don't tell you nearly enough. The states that need the regulation are the ones that host fracking operations, and you know where those are: Texas, Wyoming, states in the Midwest, Pennsylvania with Marcellus Shale, Oklahoma, and that's where the pressure ought to be. And we haven't done a line-by-line analysis of the rules in those states, but you know they do not come up to federal Safe Drinking Water Act standards, else we'd have more information than we do about the impact on groundwater around these sites. I do want to say, you know, put out something, I don't know, a little more cheerful maybe, but when we filed our TRI petition asking for disclosure of these releases, we got a very strong pro-disclosure editorial from the Casper Star Tribune in Wyoming, and I'll quote from it. It says, "Just because the industry plays such a large part in the economy doesn't mean they should simply get a free pass when it comes to environmental issues. This move would help ensure transparency in an industry that potentially has huge impacts on environmental and water quality. We think any time businesses or government can be more transparent, the public wins by gaining confidence, and for companies operating above board, it gives the public faith in those operators and businesses." That's from a You know, normally I would say a editorial page that's sympathetic to industry making this push for disclosure 2 years ago. So if there's an area we all ought to agree on, it's that. Put the information out there and, you know, let it fuel the debate. But enough of this flying blind and, you know, finding a problem here and a problem there based on disclosures that happen to come in, but leaving most communities in the dark about what's really going on.
Okay, great. And is there a follow-up question there?
No, thank you.
Excellent. And operator, let's go ahead and move to our next question.
The next question is from Jessica Holdman from Bismarck Tribune. Please go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering, related to those alternative fracking fluids, is there any cost prohibitive part of this that is keeping companies from using it?
I don't know. I can't answer that directly. I know there are quite a few on the market, so they must have some economic viability because these products aren't kind of cooked up and marketed with no customers. I also want to emphasize that the Safe Drinking Water Act itself wouldn't prohibit you from using fluids that did have toxic ingredients. It just requires you to manage those drilling sites carefully or the toxins aren't breaking out into groundwater.
Okay, and is there a follow-up question there?
Well, I guess maybe not a follow-up question, but just another question. In North Dakota, in the Bakken, one of the cases that is made is that most of the fracking is done well below the water table. Do you think there is a possibility that it could become a problem in our state in particular?
Sure. I mean, fracking, by definition, is done in shale. You don't inject this, 200 feet down into a groundwater aquifer. You're injecting it much deeper to try to break up these shale formations. The concern is that those materials, when they're injected, when they come back up, which they do sometimes, when the process is kicking back the fracking fluids sometimes, and when they're stored on site, they can leak into groundwater that people do drink from. That's why you have well casing requirements. It's trying to protect the drinking water aquifers that's critical, because you're talking about something that is very mobile in the environment and that can break out at levels 200-400 feet where it will affect drinking water supply.
So are you more concerned about it when it's injected, or are you more concerned about it when it's held on, like, storage tanks on well sites?
Well, I don't think it's an either-or. If you are injecting it, our position is the Safe Drinking Water Act ought to apply. That does more than regulate storage tanks. It also requires that at the wellhead you have strong enough casing to prevent a breakout, and also that you do mechanical integrity testing of that casing to make sure that you don't have cracks and fissures and so on, and also that you have groundwater monitoring so you can be sure it's not getting off-site. So I don't think it's either tanks or injection. It's basically, if you are injecting it, first, you should be disclosing it. Everyone should be. And second, you really do need to be subject to those Safe Drinking Water Act permit requirements.
Also, if I could just add that there are faults in these formations, and those could create a pathway to contamination of our drinking water. Also, we know that the fractures do go out of zone, sometimes several thousand feet out of zone. So it's not an exact science, and it needs to be monitored very carefully. The only way that water drinkers can be sure that our water is safe is if we have full public disclosure And we also need to have notice so that we can go get our water tested before fracking happens, because if you don't have that baseline test, industry can just say, oh, that was already there before we were operating in this area. And that's because you use too much Windex or something like that. So really the only thing that's acceptable is full public disclosure and prior notice and constant monitoring of our water.
Okay, great. And we do want to make sure that all reporters that want to get engaged have a chance to do so. So, operator, if we could go ahead and get one final reprompt before we move to the closing remarks, that'd be great.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, you can press star then two. Again, it is star one to ask a question.
Okay, and operator, do we have any questions at this time?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay, well, with that, I think we'll go ahead and move to round it out with closing remarks. And Eric, I'll turn the floor back over to you for that.
Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to Sharon, who's experienced some of the concern we're raising here firsthand. I just want to close by saying that the scandal in this case is not illegal conduct. It's what the law actually allows you to do. That is really something that needs to be fixed. It starts with disclosure. We need to get standards in place to protect people from having these contaminants break out of fracking wells and get into their groundwater. And we need Congress to get out of the business of legislating loopholes and exemptions for their friends in the oil industry.
Okay, and Sharon, do you have any closing remarks that you'd like to make?
Well, I just think, like I said, they should never be allowed to inject toxic chemicals through our drinking water, period.
It's a great point. And with that, I wanted to just make sure once again that all reporters know where they can get a full copy of the report that's coming out today, as well as the related news release. This is available on the web at www.environmentalintegrity.org, and that is also where a streaming audio replay of this news conference will be available as of 5 p.m. Once again, to get the attachment, you have to actually make a separate click to it, but it has a full display of all the wells that are in play as disclosed in this report. Once again, you've been listening to a news conference sponsored by the Environmental Integrity Project. If you'd like to be connected with any of the speakers that you've heard from, you can contact Will Harwood at 703-276-3255. Thank you so much for joining us. That concludes today's news conference.